News Express. Free Talk 930 WFMD. My name is Bob Miller. His name is Ryan Hedrick.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Busy, busy 8 o'clock hour, Bob. Let's get it kicked off the right way with information that you need to know about the federal eviction moratorium extended by the Biden administration. This could have devastating consequences, Bob, for local landlords. And somebody much smarter than us joining us on the phone lines right now. His name is Todd Kelting with Offert Kerman Law Firm in Bethesda. And he joins us right now to talk about the eviction moratorium. Todd, thank you.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning. So talk about the eviction moratorium. What does it actually mean? Let's start out by defining it, and we'll go from there.
Okay. So right now there are two eviction orders that affect Maryland renters. One is an order that Governor Hogan issued in March of 2020, and the one you guys are interested in is the CDC order that was reissued earlier this week. So the CDC order, you know, we can call it an eviction moratorium. That's what it's called or referred to in the order. But it's not a blanket protection for renters. It's really an order that gives people who exercise their rights or take advantage of it protection from being evicted. So that's the framework for what we're talking about.
Thanks for joining us. This is Bob Miller. When we talk about the CDC, we are talking about the Centers for Disease Control. How are they able legally to be able to impose this? That's not their, it should not be their realm of expertise or be able to institute something like this.
So that's a really good point. The way their entree to try to impose this is a section of the law that allows the Surgeon General through the Secretary to create regulations, enforce regulations that are designed to prevent communicable diseases from being introduced and transmitted. So there's a section that allows that, but many judges in federal court systems around the country have already found, including I think a majority of the Supreme Court, just not effectively, have found that the CDC doesn't have the power to impose this order. And so, you know, it's out there and it works. It's effective because realistically, the likelihood of a state court striking it down or a federal court striking it down nationwide is really small. So it's functioning to stop people from being evicted. I think the consensus, though, at least in my industry, is that the CDC really doesn't have the power to do this.
All right, Todd, we're going to ask you to hold real quick while we take a sports break, but I want to really get into how this moratorium is affecting small landlords. How have they felt the strain of tenants not paying, and what we can do as we look forward. Thank you very much. Todd Kelting joining us from Offert Kerman in Bethesda, Maryland, and we're talking about the eviction moratorium.
It is the Morning News Express. Good morning, Ryan's in China, up and Adam, 8:21, and we are happy to have Todd Kelting, attorney from Offert Kerman in Bethesda, joining us about this eviction moratorium. We did get a question about somebody wrote us and said, hey, can you ask him what the federal case was? Because it might help with the case, you know, that they're working here in Frederick.
Sure. So the Supreme Court has already ruled on the CDC. So, little history. The CDC order that was just renewed was originally published in September of 2020, and it's been renewed by Congress a couple times. It's been renewed by the CDC a few times this year. And the courts have ruled in states like Ohio and I think Texas and Georgia and in the District of Columbia that the order is not constitutional or it's not enforceable. And it made its way up to the Supreme Court in June, and in a 5-4 vote, it was allowed to remain in place because it had been announced that it was going to end permanently on July 31st. And Justice Kavanaugh was the deciding vote, and he said that the only reason he was allowing it to remain in place is because it had a firm expiration date. So there are cases out there, and I'm sure has already been challenged. It's just the question of whether anybody can rule on it and get rid of it before it's supposed to expire on October 3rd.
Todd, how have small landlords felt the pinch of tenants not paying? I'm sure the financial pain and strain is a lot on your clients and others.
It is, and I think, I mean, realistically, the pandemic has affected everybody, and, you know, tenants and landlords, and I don't think it has been, you know, especially burdensome on either side. It's been incredibly burdensome on everybody. So according to, you know, information that's available online, Frederick County, for instance, has something like 3,700 tenants who are behind on the rent. I don't know. It's all anecdotal, right? It's research that people conduct through surveys, and they make guesses about who's behind and how much they owe. But, you know, right now, if the research that's online is right, there are approximately 140,000 Marylanders who are behind on the rent by an average of between $4,000 and $5,000. I think those numbers are probably low, and you know, the number of people who owe lots of money continues to grow because the Maryland court system is so far behind that tenants aren't being summoned to court, and they're not at risk of being evicted both because of this order and because the court system is slowed down. And so, you know, landlords are taking the brunt of, and they're the least popular industry in America right now because nobody cares about my clients. And I get it. We're not popular, but we provide housing for millions of people, and we are not being protected the way our clients should be.
Well, that was a question that I had for you, Todd. Is there any protection for the landlords against the banks who hold the notes on some of these properties that they have that they've invested in?
So my experience through my clients has been that banks have been incredibly good about this, and they are not, you know, the real victims here, and you can look at this both from the tenant perspective and from the landlord perspective, the victims are going to turn out to be the people who don't take advantage of the literally billions of federal dollars that are available here. In Maryland, I think it's going to work out to be more than $750 million federal dollars that are available to landlords and tenants to offset these losses. The problem is going to be, you know, the small landlords who have wiped out their savings to pay for their mortgage with tenants who aren't going to pay and who are going to end up walking away without ever paying the rent. Landlords have recourse. They can, you know, go to court and file lawsuits, but the likelihood of people being able to come up with $5,000 or $10,000 that the tenants we're talking about who are low-income people or people who just have shirked their responsibilities, that's a lot of money for people to come up with when, you know, they're living paycheck to paycheck anyway.
Todd Kelting joining the Morning News Express right here on 930 WFMD. It's 826. He's from Offutt Kerman in Bethesda, and we're talking about the eviction moratorium. Now, Todd, is there any help for people that are in arrears? Is there any monies available that would be, you know, helpful to people that could just get caught up on the rent and hopefully come to some type of compromise with their landlords?
There is an incredible amount of money available, actually. There have been two bills that Congress passed, both at the end of 2020 and then earlier this year. The first bill that was passed at the end of last year resulted in Maryland receiving something like $400 million in federal money for rental assistance. And, you know, for example, in Frederick County, something like more than $9 million of that is allocated directly to Frederick County. So there's money out there. And the problem has been that local jurisdictions who are charged with distributing this money have had an impossible time getting the money out. In Frederick County, it's the religious coalition that is cooperating with the Frederick County government to distribute the money. But, you know, what I can find online is that something like, you know, 70-80% of the money that has been allocated has not been distributed. So it's out there. And the political motivation for the CDC order you know, we can talk about how it affects the spread of the disease, but it's really Congress trying to buy time for this money to get distributed. It's just not going fast enough.
And, you know, you were talking about the religious coalition. I mean, if somebody finds himself in a situation, you know, behind and the resources, is it easy to find, or is that one of the major problems and stumbling blocks for people, is that they just can't find the information and all the red tape and, you know, the runaround? How has there anybody to streamline the process?
So, if your listeners are behind on their rent or know somebody who's behind on the rent, all of this information is readily available online. All they need to do is search for rental assistance in Maryland. The Department of Housing and Community Affairs has a website with links for every county so they can reach out and find out what is necessary. The website for the Religious Coalition, it's thereligiouscoalition.org, has information about who qualifies and what documentation is necessary. So the information's out there. It's just that, you know, people aren't attuned to it because they think that the general consensus is there's a moratorium and nobody can be evicted. And that's not true. Tenants have to exercise these rights. And so until these people are at risk of being evicted, they're not going to look for the money.
Todd, after this pandemic is over, will this change the way that landlords screen tenants?
It's a tricky question. This industry wants to have people in its buildings, and part of that is a balance between risk and, you know, and reward. And so you have to analyze the likelihood of somebody defaulting on their on their rental obligations. And so I think people will be more circumspect to a certain degree, but for the most part, I think my clients are going to be happy to have America get back to work and getting back to normal and paying the rent as they were 19 months ago.
All right, Todd, thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate your time. If somebody wants to learn more about Offered Herman, what can they do? Where can they go?
So my information is available on the web. My name again is Todd Kelting, and our firm, it's Offit Kerman, OffitKerman.com, and we are a full-service law firm. We span the Eastern Seaboard, basically, so reach out to us if you have questions.
All right. Thank you so much for taking time to reach out to our listeners, Todd, and address this very serious situation. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Todd Kelting joining us on the Morning News Express, 8:30 at WFMD and WFMD.com.